from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, December the 26th, 1998. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the minister of the evening.
Let's pray. Father God, we bless you tonight. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We do thank you for the kingdom. And Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to quicken us tonight as we approach the Word. Help us, Lord. Quicken us, Lord. Lord, quicken us according to your word, quicken us by your mighty power. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Turn to Mark chapter 1. May the Lord bless you. Good to be back at Lake Hamilton. Hot Springs, Arkansas. Praise God. I may believe the traffic was heavy today. A lot of shoppers. Yeah? Praise God. Mark chapter 1. It takes me long to go through Hot Springs, and that's when we go all the way across Tulsa. I'm going to try to tell you. Mark chapter 1. Praise God. I heard you had some good meetings. Good to see Brother Booth again. I met Brother Booth back in the 60s. Wonderful meetings you had back then. Praise God. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. It says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel, come on, of the kingdom of God. And you know, that was his message. The kingdom of God. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. How many believe it's within your reach? Yes. Repent ye and believe the gospel. A lot of people believe, but they don't repent. How many know that when you talk about the kingdom of God, you're talking about a lot of things? You're talking about God's government. We're talking about the love of God. How many thank God for His love tonight? We're talking about the will of God, the power of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're talking about majesty. We're talking about His glory. The kingdom is everlasting. Amen. It's for His Lord. It's a gift. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Isn't that right? And the kingdom is a person. His name is Jesus. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And so we must receive this kingdom or this government of God. We must release this kingdom or government of God. And the result will be persecution, I guarantee you. Because there's going to be a clash of darkness and light right in here first. And in your own home and maybe your hometown, maybe your church, wherever. But it's real, isn't it? There's going to be a clash between darkness and light when you proclaim the kingdom. Isn't that true? We've been translated, come on now, that kingdom of darkness, isn't that right? Into the kingdom of His dear Son. Isn't that true? Thank God for it. How many are glad you're translated tonight? Praise been raptured, don't even know. Well, we do know it. Into the kingdom. Praise God. Now, the Lord's Prayer. Let's go over to Matthew 6. Remember that we call it the Lord's Prayer, but how many of us our prayer? You know, the Lord didn't have to repent. He didn't have any unforgiveness in Him like some of us have had in the past, possibly. But over here in Matthew 6, He taught us a prayer to pray. He prayed, didn't He? And what did He say? He said in verse, let's look at it again. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise God. Now, how many believe there's some recognition here? We recognize God as our Father. How many can say amen? Two, there's got to be reverence. We worship, we hallow His name, His holy name. Can you say amen? And three, there's identification, His purpose. Thy kingdom come. Where? In you and in me. And four, the submission. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. Thy will be done. Now, He said, He said here, our Father. How many believe that's his person? Which are where? Come on. In heaven. That's his position. How many knows they're on the throne tonight? Hallowed be thy name. That's his place in our lives. We reverence, we revere him. Amen. We honor him and we worship him. And then he said, thy kingdom come. That's his purpose. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's his prerogative. And how many believe he's reigning over all tonight? And notice he said, give us, come on, this day what? What's he going to give us? Our daily bread. And for, give us our what? Our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's petition and prayer, all those things. That is prayer. And lastly, he said, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I may believe that's a prayer. Hallelujah. Thank God. The kingdom is real tonight, isn't it? It is real in my life, it's real in your life. Now, how many here ever heard these words? Now, listen. Control. Domination. Intimidation. Manipulation. Domination. Denominate. Isolate. Indoctrinate. False. Tyrant. Nicolaitan. Jezebel. Lorded over. Lords over God's heritage. Our amplified calls it little ten gods. Force. Cruelty. Idol. I-D-O-L. Covering. That's the wrong time. And preeminence. How many believe that God wants to tear that stuff down to the church? Starting with us. Can you say amen? Amen? How many believe that? Look in 1 John chapter 3. Let's go there. 3 John. In 3 John, there is one here in the church that wanted to be exalted. How many believe there's only one in the church should be exalted? Come on, his name is Jesus. Our King. Isn't that true? Look at verse 9. And John said in 3 John 9, I wrote to the church. Somebody needs to write some love letters to the church, don't they? Well, we got them right here. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes means nurtured by Zeus. Did you hear what I said? To love us. I mean, man, this guy loves us. To love us, to have the preeminence. He wants to be first among them and receiveth us not, John said. Wherefore? If I come, I'm going to do something. I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, fighting against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good, and so forth. Now, number one, how many know this one exalted himself? He wanted to have preeminence, or to be first. I mean, oh, Jesus, again, has got to be first in our life. He's got to be exalted. He has to have the preeminence of all things. Come on, somebody say amen. There's something in man's flesh that wants to take the glory and the credit. I mean, know that Paul, it was given Paul a thorn in the flesh. Why was it given to Paul? That he might not exalt himself. Isn't that true? It came to buffet Paul. It was the messenger or the angel, actually the Greek says, of Satan. To buffet Paul. How many believe that thorn was real in his life? And he sought the Lord three times. The Lord said, my grace, Paul, is sufficient. Hallelujah. And so this spirit here, though, wants to exalt itself. It wants to attack the ministry with wicked words, malicious words. Malicious words. It stood against the true ministries of God. And then there is no contentment with this type of man or woman. How many believe a person that's a controller has no contentment at all? Contentment means inward sufficiency. God puts that in us, doesn't it? And then he totally rejected the traveling ministry. And there are people who do not like traveling ministries. I'm sorry, their pastors don't like traveling ministries. Come on, don't shout me down. And there are people who don't like shepherds. But how many know we need all of them? We need the fivefold ministry God put in the church. Can somebody say amen? And so he forbid those even that would receive the ministers. He was actually telling those that you couldn't receive the traveling ministers coming through. How many don't believe that's a big Jezebel? Come on now, in a man. And he excommunicated those kind that would receive the ministry. And then, of course, God says in verse 12, verse 11, don't follow that which is evil, but that which is good. We need some discernment, don't we? To know which is what right and which is wrong. How many know the fivefold ministry is real today? This is the apostle. Don't look like one. This is the apostolic. How many know you can't do much without those thumbs? And the apostle ministry is real today. I believe God is raising up a crop of prophets and apostles in the land. I believe I already hear many of them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But God's going to bring them forth. Amen? They're not coming forth to say, I'm a prophet or an apostle. I mean, they're coming forth to say, he's the prophet, he's the apostle, and so forth. An apostle is a sent one. The mind of Christ, he brings to the body of Christ. And he governs. He brings, he governs as he comes forth. He has answers. He knows how to come into a local church and build it from the floor to the foundation, to the ceiling, so to speak. He knows how to lay the foundation. And he knows how to raise up ministry. Come on. And set things in order. How many know we need some of that today in the church? I don't mean man's ideas. I don't mean the flesh motives. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost directing through man. And then this is the prophet, the index finger. God's messenger, God's spokesman. Now we think a prophet just comes and prophesies. How many know a prophet has a message? He's a man, a woman, a prophet in the Lord's message. He has a word from the Lord. He is the mouthpiece, and he guides. Hallelujah. And we need some godly guidance today, don't we, in the Holy Ghost. And then the middle finger is evangelist. As the one who preaches the good news, the very heart of God, and he gathers the people of God. And then the ring finger, that's the shepherd ministry. I mean, we need some shepherds today. I know the word pastor in Ephesians is mentioned, but the word is shepherd. I like the word shepherd better. But we need some shepherds who love the people, who love the flock of God. Amen? And there's a vein, some of you heard me say this many years ago. There's a vein that goes all the way to the heart. How many know the qualification of a shepherd is not here? It's got to be in the heart. Come on, you got to have some head knowledge too, but it's in here, right? He has to have a heart for the people. And also, he's apt to teach. He must be apt to teach. He's the eyes that watch over this flock. And he guards the flock. And I say he, I should say they. Because really in the local church we need plurality of ministers in this hour. And then the little finger. How many know that gets the wax out of here? Come on, gets deep down in your ear, gets the wax out. He's the teacher. That's the little finger. The mind engraver, as one man said one time. He wants to make a dent in your thick head. That's just that way. He's a mind engraver. He's the one who takes the scripture and he puts it together and he makes sense. And then he's the hands that train, and he grinds. Praise God. So the apostle is one who sent forth. The man with a task. The prophet is one who speaks on behalf of another. The man with a message. Haggai 1:13, just read it sometime. And the evangelist is one who has the supreme task of to present the gospel message. I mean, old Philip's a good example of that in Acts chapter 8. And then the shepherd is one who works in working clothes. He operates in working clothes. I like that. I mean, we need to be down to earth. In fact, I'd rather wear just casual clothes and then over a suit and tie. I'm sorry. I used to wear that all the time. I like to be casual. Anybody like that? And then the teacher, the systematic expositor of the scriptures. Hallelujah to God's people. We need that. Amen. Now, what does a fivefold minister do? Number one, it equips the saints. Anybody want to get equipped? It'll equip you if you'll obey the Spirit through His servant. How many know we obey Christ in the ministry? We don't obey the flesh. We obey the one that's in the ministry. Isn't that right? Two, how many know it builds up, the fivefold ministry builds up the body. And three, it brings God's people into a place of unity and knowledge of Jesus in every aspect. Number four, it's to bring the church into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we have two alternatives tonight, brethren. Receive discipline and grow up, or reject discipline and remain spiritual children. And we are a prime candidate for deception if we reject God's discipline in our life. Amen? Praise God. Now, look in Acts 20. Still the scripture. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Acts 20:17. Paul is speaking to the brethren at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now here in this city, of course, we know there was just one, probably one church, and they had elders in this church. I mean, on Hot Springs, you probably got 500 churches or whatever. I don't know how many churches you got here. Tell us, I don't know how many we got. We got hundreds of them. Now look up to verse 28. Now listen to what Paul tells these elders, though. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves. Number one, you're responsible if you're an elder or shepherd to take heed to yourself, okay? Two, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. How many see that word? Now, let me stop here just a minute. I like this word overseer. You know, Peter in another scripture says, taking the oversight. How many know those eyes must watch the flock of God? Not in a wrong way, but in a good way. Somebody say amen. But he said, he's made you overseers. Now in 1 Timothy 3:1, he said, there is the office of a bishop. Now, did you know in the Greek the word office isn't there? I mean, we got bishops over all kind of people, all kind of churches, all kind of, we got all kind of hierarchies. Come on now. But he said, call these brethren overseers. Overseers to what? Number one, feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now look at verse 29. For I know this. How? By revelation. That after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Who's you? The church, isn't it? And what are they going to do, brethren? What are these wolves going to do? Not sparing the flock. The devil wants to destroy the flock. Can somebody say amen? Now he said something else. Also, of your own selves, elders. I mean, the reason some elders are not working out together is because someone will take the church one way and someone will take it another way. Come on now. It'll never work that way, will it? Then there are those who say they're elders that are not elders. Then there are those who are called to be elders, but they need to be trained and taught before they can come up to that place where they're ready. Come on, to be set in. Somebody say amen. And that's God's will. And notice, he said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, perversion, spiritual perversion. And two, they're going to draw, literally drag away disciples after them. Woe be to you if you follow men. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, we have people in this nation, in the church today, who want you to follow them instead of Jesus. I mean, we're called to follow the Lamb of God. Revelation 14 said, they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Set our eyes on Jesus. I'm not saying we don't follow man in some ways, because there's a lot of things we do, but we're to follow the man. His name is Jesus. Amen. Now look at verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do something, to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Praise God. He's talking to the leadership of the church. He's saying that the word of God, the word of grace, will build you up. Hallelujah. And it will give you that inheritance as you're being sanctified, being made holy. And then look at the next verse. I love this verse. We all need to read it more. I have coveted no man's silver, this is the Apostle Paul, or gold or apparel. Can we say that? Well, God wants us to come to a place where we can say it and mean it from our hearts. Can you say amen? Amen. Folks, praise God. Now, look at 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. And look at verse 8:17, I think it is. 1 Timothy 5, verse, well, let's go back to verse 1. Rebuke not an elder. How has ever seen that happen? I've been rebuked right before. Usually by someone that didn't hear it before. But entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren. Now look down to verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of something. Double honor. I mean, you can't double something unless you got two. Take two nickels, make a dime, right? Especially they who labor in the word, come on, and doctrine. If you're going to be a teacher, how many know you're going to labor? And you're going to have a lot of patience. Come on, amen? A lot of patience. And I have to have a lot of patience with you, too. Next verse. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads up the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. How many know we're too prone to believe everything that we hear? All of us. Amen? And you know the devil is the accuser of, and he's also the slanderer. He's diabolos, isn't he? Amen? And so God says, now look at verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man. And we quote that scripture, but I believe what he's saying is don't be so quick to ordain the leadership into the church. Don't lay hands on suddenly and just put anybody and everybody in without the direction of the Holy Ghost. Look in Acts 13. Show that. And brethren, Acts 13. I could write a book on this. Hallelujah. Acts 13:1. Now there were in the church. The church. Let me know we need Jesus, but we also need his church. There was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Now this is in the church. You got any prophets and teachers in your church? Come on, amen. You may not let them in. I don't know. And of course he names them Barnabas, Simeon, Paul, different ones here. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, as they sought the Lord, and fasted. This is a serious time. The Holy Ghost said, Holy Ghost had something to say about who's going to be ordained and what was going to happen here. Isn't that right? If you're called to the ministry and God's going to set you apart and send you out, somebody's going to have to speak by the Holy Ghost to you. Is that true? One thing to hear it, but it must be confirmed. Isn't that right? And it will be. And so, brethren, it says here, praise God. He said, separate me Barnabas and Saul. He didn't say Paul, he said Saul. For the work whereunto I have called them. So I've already called them, but now the separation time. Now here, they're prophets. In 11, they're teachers. Chapter 11, they're teachers. Now they're prophets. And then over in 14, they're apostles sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Now look at the next verse. And when they fasted and prayed again, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. How many believe that's the correct way to do it? We got people jumping up today and saying, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm going to Jamaica, I'm going to Africa or someplace and nobody sent them. Huh? So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How many believe that the Holy Ghost is going to send you? Something's going to happen. You're going to fulfill your call, and you're going to do what God says. But how many know that just because you're called and sent don't mean you're having trouble? Look over in 14. Look over in 14. Paul heals us by the power of God. This man gets healed, this cripple here. And, in chapter 14, Paul perceived he had faith to be healed. Remember that? And then if you read on down, and when he was over in a place called Lystra in verse 19, they loved Paul so much they stoned him to death. They stoned him. Here's a guy just got ordained by God, called him an apostle, sent one, sent out, and here all of a sudden he gets stoned. He didn't take very long, did it? But how many know God raised him up? As the brethren stood about it. And you know what? He went right back in the same place. Most of us that took a taxi went on somewhere else. Come on, amen. Verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue somewhere. In the faith of Jesus. And that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Now I know there are those who say today you don't have to go through anything. Now they tell you that's a lie. You'll go through many things if you're going to the kingdom. Amen? Much tribulation will enter that kingdom. And God has ordained the tribulation. has it. How many believe he's all got it designed? Each one of us is separate, different, but he knows exactly what it's going to take, doesn't he? Hallelujah. And our flesh is kicking all the way. Can you say amen? We got skid marks 5 miles back, you know, where we tried to put on the brakes. Every one of us. Isn't that true? Hallelujah. So anyway, thank God for the apostles. Now look over in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And look at verse 7. 13:7. And it said two words here, the first beginning of this verse. Notice, remember them, not just him. Remember them which have the rule over you. And that's, of course, in the Spirit. Who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Why? That they themselves must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, because that's impossible for you. I may believe there's some accountability for the minister here. And then in verse 24, he said, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. Praise God. Now turn to Philippians 1:1. Let me share what a local church is made up of. I'm just showing you a skeleton thing here. Philippians 1:1. Philippians 1:1. Praise God. I haven't thought these things in a long time. How many know we need to keep covenant in church? Not to be dogmatic about it, but just as the Spirit of God does. Philippians 1:1. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all, number one, saints. How many see that word as plural? How many believe there should be some saints in a local fellowship? Two, what's the second thing? He said also, in Christ Jesus, which are Philippi, with the overseers, and three, and deacons. How many can see all three are plural? How many believe we need some plurality of saints in the church? We need some plurality of deacons or servants in the church. And we need some plurality of ministry in the church. Is that true? Godly men in the call by God. Praise God. Now look in Proverbs 31. Chapter 31 of Proverbs. And look at verse 23. 31:23. It says this. You ever read this chapter 31? This one's a picture of the church. They picture the soul even, but not the church. The woman. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. First of all, how many know Jesus is our husband? Isn't that right? And then it says, notice, her husband is known in the gates. First of all, that's the Lord. But secondly, how many know her natural husband, if she's married, a woman's married, natural, could be in the leadership. How many know the leadership set in the gates of the city? And notice, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. How many know when he's sitting among us, we want to be there? You were called to be an elder. Come on, amen. All the fivefold ministers are elders. If you're an apostle, you should be all five. Come on, amen. A prophet, he may not be an apostle, but he can be the bottom four, including the prophet. A lot of shepherds are prophets. You know that? A lot of shepherds are teachers. Praise God. So we need whatever gift and God, that God's put in the ministry today. But it says her husband is known in the gate. Hallelujah. When he sitteth among the elders of the land. He's sitting there with the other brethren. How many know there's an elder that's showing up? His name is Jesus. He's going to sit with us. Come on, amen, and talk with us. Isn't that right? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We need the elders. Hallelujah. Because they judge, they rule, and they also take counsel. I may believe we can learn from others. In fact, we don't know too much. Come on, he knows everything, doesn't he? He is everything. And we need to learn from another. Now, let me balance something out here. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5. I want to balance something out. 1 Thessalonians 5. You bring all your fingers tonight, right? Okay, good. Chapter 5, verse 12. Now, look at this verse, brethren. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you.
Don't just let anybody come in and do their thing if you don't know. Isn't that true? Can't do it. But he said, know those who labor among you, here amongst you. They're in the thick of things, but they're among you. Amen? And are over you in the Lord. Notice, in the Lord. And what else do they do? Admonish you. And to esteem them, look at this, very highly in love, because they're good looking, because they got a lot of money. No, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, let's balance that. 1 Corinthians 4. Hallelujah. And I think sometimes we're too quick to blurt out things against the ministry that God's ordained. I mean, we need to be careful about it. Come on now. God's anointing. Now look in chapter 4, if you will, and look in verse 6. And Paul said this, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us, Paul and Apollos, not to think of men above that which is written, that no man of you be puffed up one against another. But notice the phrase, not to think of men above that which is written. He's talking about the ministry. How many believe that some people put ministers up on a pedestal and they become idols? I'm going to show you this in Zechariah. Go to Zechariah 11. Zechariah 11. There's only one to be on that pedestal. His name is Jesus. Zechariah 11, look at verse 15. Zechariah 11, 15. And the Lord said to me, here's the prophet is seeing this vision, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. I don't believe there's some foolish shepherds around, as well as some godly shepherds around. Now listen to this. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that which is broken, nor feed that that stands still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Now, what's verse 17? He said, woe to the idle shepherd. How do you spell that word idle? How many see that? Woe to those who've become idle. Idolatry. Are you hearing me? Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword of the judgment of God shall be upon his arm, that's authority. I mean, believe God's going to dry it up. And upon his right eye, the one that had revelation, vision, insight, perception, and discernment, is going to be over. And his arm, his authority shall be clean, dried up. And his right eye shall be utterly darkened, God says, because he's become an idol in the house of God instead of a true shepherd. Can you say amen? Now let's go to Matthew 13. Spirit's playing a word here. Hallelujah. Matthew 13, look in verse 31. I mean, there's a difference between a tree and an herb. Genesis, you go to Genesis, God makes the distinction between the two, doesn't he? Now look at 31. Another parable put he forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which when a man took, he sowed it in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it's grown, first it's sown, now it's grown, it is the greatest among what? Herbs. Now Jesus says, if you're going to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to become a little what? Come on. A child in that life. Now he said, this seed, after it's sown, it's grown, it's the greatest among herbs, and becomes what? I want you to notice, it jumps from an herb, so that the birds, the demons of the air, Satan the principality of the air, comes and lodges in the branches thereof. Most ministers, when they start, they're pure. They've heard from God. They're being directed by God. Their ministry is from God. So we get so big and we begin to launch out with branches all around the world or wherever it may be. How many of the demons come? When we don't go down, come on. pride will come in and it will destroy us. It will open up, us up to these. Can you say amen? As long as we're that herb, as long as we're that ministry God called us to be, and we stand that calling, you're not going to have as many problems with demons. But when you start lifting up yourself in pride or going the wrong direction, those demons will come in. Now, turn to Revelation 18. The demons have entered the church. You ever went into a sanctuary and saw the birds flying all around, small demons? Well, they are in a lot of them. Revelation 18:1, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen, and has become the habitation of something. What is it? Devils and a hole of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And what does God tell us down here in the scriptures? God tells us to come out of her, that we would be not partakers of her plagues. I know there are people saying today that Babylon's only America. I want to tell you, Babylon's in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Come on, it's in every city. It's in every nation. Babylon is worldwide. Yes, it's a money system. It's a political system. It's a religious system. And God said, you come out of that. Because Babylon is worldwide. You say amen. Praise God. Now go to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. And let us look at verse 20. I won't read all this, but the mother of the sons of Zebedee, I believe it was, came to Jesus wanting a request. And the request was that her son should sit on the left and the right hand of Jesus. Remember that story? And Jesus said, can you drink the cup that I give you and be baptized with the cup of the baptism? And they said, yes, Lord. And then he said, well, it's only for those that it's prepared for by the Father. But if you'll notice in verse 25, I believe it is, it says, Jesus said these words in verse 25, but Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the princes, notice that, the rulers of the Gentiles exercise what? Dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. I mean, oh, that's true today. Is that right? But it shall not be so among you. And yet we got so many hierarchies in these churches. We don't know who's in charge. Come on now. Jesus needs to be in charge. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be something. Your servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your slave. You don't want to be a slave? We got a lot of people out front today need to be slaves. And yet, well, I don't say that either. 28, verse 28. But as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for. Now turn over to Judges 8. Judges 8. Verse 22. And I love this scripture. I may remember Gideon. Had the army defeated and the Midianites with only 300 out of 32,000. How many of you know didn't take God in there to defeat the enemy? Look at verse 22. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, after the great victory, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also. For thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Hallelujah. Anybody want the Lord to rule over you tonight? Anybody want the Lord to rule over your churches tonight you're in? Amen. Now look in chapter 9. Look in chapter 9, verse 18. Chapter 9, verse 18. Hallelujah. Let's see what it says here. I believe it's, let's see, let me go down here just a minute. Maybe on down here. I think I've got the wrong. Verse 8, I believe it is. Chapter 9, verse 8. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree. Now, what comes off an olive tree? Come on. The oil, right? Out of these olives, right? I mean, oh, that's anointing. And he sang to this to this anointed one, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said to them, shall I leave my sacrifice, that is the anointing, for by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees. No thing. And the tree said to the fig tree, now this is a fruitful vine, come down and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, shall I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? No. Then said the tree to the vine, come down and reign over us. And the vine said to them, should I leave my wine? This is the joy of the Lord. Which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees. And lastly, then said all the trees to the bramble. The bramble bush is that old bush that goes every direction. Amen? Come down and reign over us. Now listen to what this bramble says. I may believe there's a lot of bramble bushes in some churches. No, with some groups. The bramble said to the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my darkness, my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour. What's he going to devour? The cedar. He's going to cut down every tree he can. Every tree he can. And there's a lot of people been cut down in this land. But God wants to see you. Come on, amen. And restore God's peace. Can you say amen? Go to Exodus 18. Exodus 18. How many believe that we don't get so big for our britches we can't listen to somebody else and learn something? Exodus 18, verse 13. And Moses is judging the people from morning to evening. How many know it's wearing him out? And then we'll notice down to verse 19, his father-in-law, Jethro, has some counsel for him. He said, hearken out of my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. But for thou, be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes to God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws. Thou shalt show them the way, and so forth. Verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide other people able men. Number one. Now look at this. That fear God. Number two. Men of truth. And three. Men who hate covetousness. And place that's over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, 50, and 10. Now, how many believe that the qualification is the same for all, but the responsibility is different? If you're over 100, it's different than over 10. And then it says, and let them judge the people at all seasons. Only with the bring to hard matters. To Moses, verse 24. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. So here was a man willing to take instruction, wearing himself out in his body. And all it took was somebody seeing the situation and saying, hey, there's a better solution. Amen? You need some help, Moses. How many know that some people wearing themselves out, killing themselves, trying to, they're actually overdoing something? Now I'm going to show this. Go over to Philippians.
Please turn the tape over to side two. Thank you.
Philippians 2. If you don't come apart, how many know you'll come apart? There ain't no back in practice. It's true. Philippians 2, verse 25. Listen to what Paul said here to this brother, this apostle. This apostle in Christ. Apostle speaking to an apostle. To the church about this apostle. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but you didn't speak of that very much in the Bible, but your messenger, your apostle, and he that ministered to my want. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you'd heard that he had been sick. Oh, you mean apostles get sick? What he said. Just why? For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. Not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, now regarding his life to supply your lack of service to him. This man had overdone it. it overworked. And his body was wearing out and he nearly died. But how many know God has been there? Anybody ever been there? Amen. I'm not sure about that. Now let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I want to look at a scripture here, if I can, if I can find it. Praise God, I'm a second. 1 Thessalonians 2. And I want you to notice, and Paul all through this chapter talking about himself, Silas, or Silvanus, and Timotheus. They're all apostles. Every one of them is apostles. And in verse 6, he says, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you. Now look at this apostle. Look at these apostles. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse. How many know that's the female aspect of the apostle? Shares with her children. How many know that's a kind, gentle person who knows how to gather up those that are hurting? Isn't that right? And bind up the wounds and pour into all wine, whatever it takes. Come on, somebody say amen. And then look at verse 8 now. We're coming on down. He says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted to you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Now, there's a good soul guy right there. Because you were dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how whole and justly and unblameable we behave ourselves among you that believe. Now, look at verse 11. Here is the apostle now. Watch this. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children. How many believe we can take in this way? Also with the apostle. Isn't that right? You see the female aspect, you see the male aspect in the apostle. Or in the apostles, I should say this. But they were very gentle, but yet at the same time, they also could be a father, son to the children. How many away from fathers in the church today? We need some real godly fathers, spiritual fathers. Isn't that right? How many believe God's going to restore the ministry of Elijah back to the church? Amen? Yes. Amen? You want to look at it? Malachi, let's turn and look at it. Let's go look at Malachi, the last chapter of Malachi. How many have ever read it? God's bringing restoration to his people, isn't it? Here in chapter 4, in verse 5, praise God, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. And I see this as an army of God. Before, and Brother Pittman, I was also told about that when he went to heaven. He may tell some of that when he's here. I don't know. But he said, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. But he's going to turn first. Fathers have got to turn. Not only spiritually, but also in the natural. Isn't that right? Church and a home. But God's going to send that ministry. Praise God. To restore the church and the home. Can somebody say amen? Now let's go to 2 Samuel 23. Let's look at a leader in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23, look at verse 1. David is dying. What would you and I say on our deathbed? Let's see what he said here, right before he died. I don't know what I'd say. I'd say, praise the Lord, or bye to my family, or Irma, I sure do like that. I love you, Irma, or something, you know. Chapter 23, 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet promise of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Hallelujah. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth, here it is, over men must be, number one, just, and two, ruling in the fear of God. How many see that? He must be just, and he must rule in the fear of God. And we read tonight, those that rule over you, that's those that rule in the fear of God. And he shall be like those that have that are just and ruling in the fear of God. He shall be like, be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springeth out of the earth by clear shining after rain. How many have ever looked out and saw how bright it is after rain? Amen? Praise God. He said, that's the way the ministries are. Those that are in control are in charge. Those that are just and ruling in the fear of God. Praise God. How many remember it only took 10 men to keep Israel out of the promised land? And for 40 long years they wandered in the wilderness because of 10 men. They believed the report of 10 men. Now go to Psalms 107. How many believe we believe some reports that wasn't too good? Look at Psalms 107. Now let's look at this scripture here. Look in Psalms 107 and look at verse 41. Look at what God is doing. How many believe he said in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers, and after that miracles and healings and all those things he mentions over there. New Testament. Look at verse 41. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and he maketh him families like a flock. And you know that every local group God's raised up put people in, and you know that's a family. I said, what God has done. The righteous shall what? See it and rejoice. They ought to fight it. Say, this isn't of God. And all iniquity will stop from that. Why does God put us with other people? To get all the rebellion out of us. We can always sit in our brother, but how many of we can't sit in ourselves? Huh? Is that right? Revelation, how many know they can see right through one another though in Revelation 21? They came to a place where God has purged all the mixture, all the darkness, all the demons, all those things, and they can see right through one another. Hallelujah. Pure eyes and pure heart. Look at verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand something. The loving kindness of the Lord. It is his loving kindness that brings us together as a people. Can you say amen? How many know divine order, divine placement is of God? And when Israel was placed, in fact, you can't everybody see that, but when they were placed around the tabernacle, it was in a cross. And God had each tribe placed in its position. Judah couldn't go up and take Benjamin's place, could he? And so forth. God had them in a specific place. And God has us in a specific place in his body. Do you believe that? Amen. And yet he was in the very midst, the very center of them. How many believe he's in the center of his people tonight? Hallelujah. I believe that. Praise God. And so we need his headship. We need his lordship. We need that authority that's only in Jesus. We're not to forsake the assembly, come on, of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Isn't that right? But how much more, the Bible said, we're to do that as we see what? As we see what? The day of the Lord approaches. We're to gather together with the people of God, wherever God leads us. Amen? We're to be with God's holy people. Can somebody say amen? We must be there. Now, we must be able to relate to authority. We must be able to recognize authority. And those that are in authority recognize authority. Did you hear what I said? We must respond to authority. We must receive authority. And we must release authority. Father God, I lift up each one of these men and women here tonight. Called by your precious name, that's anointed by the name of Jesus. And Lord, if you call, you've equipped, and you will send them forth. I pray for them tonight, Lord. I bind every demonic power, every principality and power that's been set against them, against their ministry, against their home, against their life. Father God, I take dominion over those spirits even this day. I ask, Father, that your power would minister life to them even in this hour, that you reveal yourself in a dream and in a vision, and that, Lord God, they would fulfill that which you told them to do, Lord, that they would not shrink back, that they would truly fulfill all that call, Father God, that you put in their life in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, make the vision plain and write it in their heart, that they'll know it, Father God, even in this day, even in 1999, God, as we're facing the new year. Father, thrust us out by your Spirit, by your grace and your power. Let your word come alive in each one of us, Father God, as we minister the word of God to others, Lord. Send us forth in your name and in your power. Lord, we humble our hearts before you. We are nothing without you. We submit to you. And Lord, we want to be an instrument in your mighty hand to reach all the wicked out there, Lord, but the church of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. We cry out tonight for mercy. We go down, we humble our hearts before you. Take out all the pride, Lord. Take out everything that's not Christ-like in us, Lord. And deliver us and set us free, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's give the Lord a good hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Father, I just lift up those tonight that in this place that's called to be apostles, or prophets, or teachers, or shepherds, and evangelists. That, Father, they'll only follow you and not man. That they'll go forth, be directed by the Holy Ghost, and, Lord, they'll be totally obedient to you. And that, Lord, they'll not lose the vision of that call that you put in their heart. We claim it, believe it in Jesus' name, that there'll be a fulfillment of it in Jesus' name. You know, Paul warned a man in Colossians to fulfill his ministry, chapter 4. Now, I exhort you tonight, your call, you fulfill that ministry God gave you. Amen? By the help of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Praise God. Bring you on.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.